Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a fun one. But before we get into things, I'd like to thank our sponsor, OnPay. Without their support, we would not be able to share these important stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have John Hightower, and he is with Arch and Tower. Welcome, John.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Before we get too far into things, tell us a little bit about Arch and Tower. How are you serving folks?
I appreciate your time. And we are focused on a $75 billion business issue. The CX, the customer experience of organizations, cost companies about $75 billion. And these numbers come from PwC. In fact, supporting that is most organizations leave about 16% profit margin on the table due to the customer experience and the inefficiencies there. The ironic part is 88% of the customer experience is driven by your employees. So the employee experience and the way that you work with your employees to engage customers, the way you take care of your employees, has a massive bottom line impact to the organizations, either be a small business to a large business. We help organizations roll up the sleeves and focus on the customer experience driven by the employee experience. And then we also help organizations with operational excellence. How we came about those three pillars is an interesting story. We've done quite a bit of work with Chick-fil-A, as well as with partnered with the founder of the Ritz-Carlton, Horst Schulze, and people kept asking us, what do those organizations do really well? And when you look at them, they take care of their customers. And the reason they do that is because they take care of their employees. And then an interesting aspect is those cultures have a mind for continuous improvement. And that continuous improvement is what drives those efficiencies. So we said, that's a really interesting framework, the customer experience, employee experience, and operational excellence. And that's what we built our practice on.
So now, as a boutique consulting firm, tell me about the background of the leaders of this group. Were they people that came from large consulting firms and then decided to join forces to do this? Like, what's the backstory?
So the founders of our organization have a unique background. Each one of us come from various business perspectives. So I've spent 17 years in the consulting industry, having worked in healthcare, and I've worked with some of the brands out there, Spanx, Home Depot, on digital transformation, a bunch of different consultative approaches to digital marketing, technology, things of that nature. I've got two other partners, one that has a career that started in real estate, and then he moved into communication and really helping some of the industry leaders in communication around leadership bring their message to life in a more formidable way on massive scale. And then the third partner of Arch and Tower brings the customer experience from a different perspective in regards to the customer service model, and specifically spent time in the space of sports and technology and how to bring a more frictionless experience on the tech side to the table. So we are non-traditional in the fact that we don't come from the big four, and that's a competitive advantage from my perspective, because we come with a holistic mindset from various career steps, both profit and nonprofit, that I believe really makes for a kaleidoscope that helps our clients see through a different lens.
Now, tell me about the first time you three were together and said, you know what, why don't we just join forces and kind of attack this together?
Yeah, it was an evolution as we built the team. And it was one of those one of those interactions that became one of our service standards. So inside of our mission and vision, we've got standards that we hold to. One of them is felt needs. And the way we developed our team is based on what are the felt needs that our clients has, and let's be very receptive to that. So as we were building the team that became the founding partners, we looked for different areas and different people that we needed to tap in to serve our clients. And that desire for felt needs and working with people to truly understand what is the problem they're trying to solve. They may tell you one thing, but the issue is usually the question behind the question. So really getting to that felt needs is even what drove us from our founding. It's been a very It's been an exciting 3 years. We've done over 50 projects across multiple sizes of business, and it's just been a very unique entrepreneurial run, to say the least.
So at what point did an incident happen or something happen where you're like, hey, we're on to something. This thing really has legs. We're getting traction.
It has been one of those things. I think the best compliment is when people ask you to continue to help them solve some of their business challenges. And we knew what our fume date was. And for the entrepreneurs that are listening on the call, that fume date is when you're going to run out of cash. We knew that from the day we started, from some of the initial capitalization contracts that we acquired. So we knew to the day how long we had. And from there it was, hey, let's figure out who else we can serve in the companies we were serving. And what we found quickly was good work begets more work. And if we can help people truly solve the challenges in front of them, they can give us the biggest compliment by asking us to continue to help them. And it's been a huge honor to work with companies from Atlanta to the West Coast. We've got clients in Boulder. I was just on site with a company in North Mississippi. And it's just been a blast to work with some innovative companies that really want to elevate from, maybe they're good in their industry, but they want to rise to the top of their industry. Or maybe if they're at the top of their industry and need to almost create a net new competition. Let's compete to be best of brand out there in our respective industry, to the point that we're elevating ourselves to look at other companies we appreciate outside of our industry and raising our standards.
Can you share a story? You don't have to name names, but maybe that through your work, you were able to make an impact where they were like, man, this is really working for us.
Great. For me, it happened a few weeks ago. We were working with an organization, and this gets into some of our methodology, but mapping the customer experience and the employee experience on a same piece of paper. And we were doing a virtual conference with 14 of their department heads. And what I found gratifying through that experience after 2 days of the summit, we had a list of ahas that were happening. And the ahas were happening between the accounting team and sales and about how they can improve the customer experience. The ahas were happening between operations and the plants to figure out how they can get product better and faster to the customer. And even to the point of, hey, how are we creating our plants to serve our core customer in maybe a new way? It's those ahas that the companies traditionally have the right talent in the room and the right people. They just need a guide or a different eye to facilitate to get them the answers they need. And it's that journey and that guide path that we really appreciate. It actually goes into a bit of our brand name. So Arch is care, wait, and span gaps. We like to do that with our customers. We like to maybe connect departments that haven't been connected before or a deeper level. And then Towers lift people up to give them a strategic vantage point. So that's how we came up with the name Arch and Tower. And it's fun to actually implement our brand name inside of some of the companies that we've gotten to work with.
So now walk me through what a typical, at least the onboarding of a new client looks like when they start working with you.
Sure. So in those initial calls, what we're really doing is we want to provide value.
Start at the pain. Like, what is the pain that they're having where Arch and Tower are the right fit for them? Like, what are the symptoms that maybe they have?
Absolutely. So if you think about our framework is broken into CX, EX, and OX, and I'll walk you through each one of those. But the customer experience, traditionally focused on the chief marketing officer and the team supporting the CMO. What's traction look like with your customers? Are you having a difficult time in maybe a certain area? Maybe it's a digital channel or a physical channel. And most importantly, how are those interconnecting? If you're a chief people officer, how are we engaging our employees? How can we increase productivity inside of our employees? Partner alongside them. For the operational excellence piece, it's, do you feel like you have chaos inside of your supply chain? Are you having a challenge to scale your products or services? And for the CEO, do you have an organization? Is your organization healthy? Do you have an organizational strategy that is thinking, what is the next 10 years? But really what's most important is, hey, how are your employees connected to that vision? How are they connected to the strategy? So your frontline team members are aligned with where you want to take your business. So those are some of the questions we help answer. Organizational health for the CEO, traction with your customers for the CMO, productivity and getting the most, winning the war for talent with the chief people officer. And then creating some clarity around the chaos and the operational side of the business for the COOs. Traditionally, our entry can take on multiple forms, but what we focus on is how do we deliver value from step one, even in phone calls. Half the time, our phone calls jump into more of, hey, how do we start solving the problem now? Rather than going this really laborious process, we want to deliver value from day one, even in that initial conversation that may happen virtually or in person.
Now, when you're dealing with those kind of different groups within an organization, how do you kind of get buy-in from all of them? And I would imagine you're opening up a can of worms in terms of the complexity of the sale to get all three, you know, kind of siloed areas, sometimes they're siloed, you know, kind of all on the same page with this.
So depending on the entry point, we may keep a focus really tight. It may be around an example, as we did a project inside of a marketing function organization on the digital tool that they had. And they had great data that the digital tool was providing end users, but the experience to it was, we'll call it suboptimal. It wasn't very pretty. So we focused, let's focus in on the digital experience that a customer works on when they engage with that company. And then from there, we delivered work that was solid, and we were asked to jump into others, driving into more strategy and driving into the C-suite around that business unit to say, hey, how are you strategically positioning your offering in the market? So similarly, we focus on where can we immediately provide value. And if that value is driven and appreciated, then they'll ask us to come in and maybe take on a bigger scope. In the instances that we can gather all four of those positions together, it usually starts with a data-driven conversation. And what I mean by that is we'll survey multiple parts of the business, and the survey that we do provides feedback to the C-suite of what people are saying about the business. And what will happen is you'll see tension points begin to happen because some folks may think that the organization is further along than they truly are, and that data is an enriched conversation that they may not have had before. Maybe the C-suite hasn't talked about where they are in the maturity model as a business. And if they have, maybe they haven't had objective data to help them measure that. So we take a data-driven approach and we start talking about those areas that could be a challenge. How do we create influence through letting data talk, and we help give an objective point of view across that spectrum?
But if
it's
you can
been really insightful for CEOs, because now they get a really good look at their C-suite to understand, hey, how is my team breathing into this conflict and really pushing forward to create wins for the organization?
But how do you kind of, okay, data is important and no one can deny that, but you're dealing with humans, and sometimes humans are territorial. And if the consulting guy for the marketing guy goes and tells the ops guy that his baby's ugly, how are you managing the people part of that conversation?
Great. Great point. I would say there's a lot of assumptions in that analogy there. I would say we start maybe in an area that we understand may not be quite as politically charged as that type of situation inside the organization. Maybe it starts with, hey, what data do we have that we can agree on so that we celebrate some small wins early? And with that comes momentum. So you also have to apply a bit of emotional quotient even to how you engage the project from the start. And those are things that we have learned and adapted to, especially as we've pivoted the business model through the season that we're in now.
Now, how have you been helping your clients get through the pandemic? What are some of the kind of the advice that you're sharing with them?
So we actually had a felt need internally. So we were acquired by Fraser & Dieter at the tail end of 2019 in November of last year. And for those unfamiliar with Fraser & Dieter, it is one of the largest CPA firms in the United States with six offices stateside and an expanding footprint in the United Kingdom. And the CEO needed some support on understanding how do we engage with our employees and engage with the return to office environment that we're beginning to enter into in this COVID season. And we rolled up our sleeves and said, let's understand what the true felt needs of the employees are. And then we designed a personalized plan for each one of the offices to reenter the workforce or to reenter the office. So for Atlanta, Nashville, Tampa, those offices are opening ahead of some of the other locations that we have. We're on the phone actually earlier today with the Philadelphia location and then one that has its own requirements, but personalizing that experience with protocols, documentation, even communication, helping write internal communications. We're helping with that. Another instance of helping an organization, we have a client in Oklahoma City that they're actually doubling down with their employees and doubling down into their customers right now. So we've created leadership content to help really enhance that employee experience during the season, where we're talking about leading change. And we're talking about the components of understanding different personality profiles and how people respond. So they're saying, let's go on an extreme offense and let's continue to accelerate our place in the market by pouring into our employees when a time where their competitors aren't. And those are just a couple of instances of how we're working with our clients and partners right now.
So now, what's your kind of, if you're looking in a crystal ball, what are you seeing? Are you optimistic? Is this going to be a rough haul? How are you advising your clients on what's ahead?
For me, history is a pretty good predictor of the future, and America will find a way to move through this season. And I encourage all leaders out there, what you're feeling is real. These are tense moments where we're not quite sure of the future. There's some, I think, essential business practices that need to be enhanced during this time. One is empathetic listening. Really listen to what people's true concerns, desires, dreams are at this point. Galvanizing a cross-functional team to approach that. And then from there, really determining, hey, how are we changing our business model? This is a very amazing opportunity to challenge and do new things. Innovation is what our entrepreneurial engine is built on. And how are we doing that as a business? Exploring new ways of delivering your service, new ways of delivering your products. That doesn't mean there's not tough decisions. And hey, how do we financially make the through this season? But from there, hey, how do we lead with a point of view of focus and not fear? And how do we think through those steps? A couple areas that are just at the macro level, supply chain. We've talked so much about, you know, the disruption side of supply chain. I saw a stat from an Industry Week article that said 75% of businesses had a disruption inside of their supply chain. So similar to energy independence, that was a hot topic a few years ago and is still something that's out there. How do we begin looking at supply chain dependence and independence and where are we sourcing product and how do we look at different ways of even deploying our supply chain? From my perspective, the opportunity to marry digital and physical experiences at a deeper level, not only for your employees, but also your customers. That can look like some really neat things in virtual reality are coming forward in employee experiences. Looking at how do you utilize devices? Maybe you're in the service industry and utilizing devices to get people information faster, so it's frictionless for people in that service model. Areas that were once maybe not an area that folks would want to go into, now that you have these unique experiences of COVID, people may be much more open to being innovative across the service and product mix.
Now, if there's a company out there that's struggling, like what would be the area that's an easy or maybe a logical kind of first call for you or maybe a small project that you can help them with to get over some of these challenges?
Sure. I think there's a couple of things. One, we packaged the COVID response up into a palatable model that can help people quickly get wins with their employees and ensuring that folks feel confident and returning to the office. So taking care of your employees is, we feel like we have something that is palatable on the expense side, but most importantly, it gets you your return on the investment with your employees and getting them engaged when they come back into the physical office. Secondly, it's, hey, if they're not coming to the office, how do we digitally support them with new tools and digital transformation? Need it be productivity enhancements, things of that nature. We were built digitally first, so our organization delivers majority of our work digitally. So we've built systems to support that. And those are some quick hits that can be deployed relatively quickly, depending on the size of the organization. And change management function is something that we've specialized in rolling out different tools. And then the one that I do feel like there's hidden opportunity is this mapping of the customer and employee experiences and those interaction points together. The reason that one's important is within a day or two of facilitated conversation, we're able to then create a list of between 10 to 20 initiatives that will help uncover hidden errors or areas of opportunity to improve. An example is at the organization I visited a couple of days ago in North Mississippi, the software that they installed is not implemented in the most effective way. It is a botched implementation. And we're able to identify is basically the errors in the software created massive impacts to the process in which the employees were delivering the product from the warehouse. And that equated to a bottom line figure that was an immediate bottom line impact the company could absorb. And it became because of just inefficiency in the system. So they don't have to physically put an output in kind of the financial outlay. It's actually an internal thing they can improve on quickly. So those are a couple of things that I'd look at exploring in a relatively quick manner, especially in this season of reflection and, hey, how do we reimagine what tomorrow looks like?
So, John, if somebody wanted to learn more, have more substantive conversation, can you share the website?
Absolutely. You can find us at archandtower.com. And we've got a free asset that we love to support the listeners with. They can reach out to me at John, J-O-H-N, at archandtower.com, and I can get them that asset. It's J-O-H-N at archandtower.com. And we'd love to provide that asset to your listeners.
Good stuff, John. Thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, please support our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.